So here in 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul is encouraging Timothy, but also encouraging Christians. How important it is that we understand that the Christian life is going to be a battle. There's many out there who try to teach that if you just become a Christian, life will just be a cruisy situation until Jesus comes, but that's not how it works. It actually, once you get saved, the battle begins, because now the devil's fighting you and you've got the world, you've got your own flesh. And so Paul is encouraging us here to understand that and to live accordingly. So beginning in verse 3 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." So the title of our message is simply Endure. Endure. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to assemble here and open your word together with our brothers and sisters. And we pray, Lord, as we now open our hearts, that you would speak to each one of us in a personal way. Lord, that we would grow through this time, that we would be responsive as the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and have a wonderful time of fellowship around our Savior afterwards. We just give it all to you, Lord. Pray you'll guide us, pray you'll meet with us, and be glorified in all of it. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Paul here is again encouraging us that we need to endure. So many Christians, as we have all met, they stop enduring. They fall away. They quit fighting. And how sad that is. The devil wins every time that happens. But notice he says in verse 3, first of all, endure hardness. He's talking about as a soldier, as he says in verse 3, as a good soldier. So the first thing he says is, I want you to endure hardness as a soldier. That the day we were born again, we were enlisted into God's army. And we are here to fight a war. That's the reality of it. We have a battle against the flesh. If you would look at 1 Peter 2:11, I'll show you that. 1 Peter 2:11. But we as soldiers now have to endure hardness. We all know that when someone enlists into the military, we expect them to endure some hardness, don't we? We expect them to go through basic training. If they go off to war, that's not a picnic. There's some hardness involved. And God says, I want you as my soldiers to endure some hardness. And we are in a war. Notice 1 Peter 2:11, the Bible says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." So there's that word war. They war against the soul. The Bible also teaches that we are in a war for our thoughts. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So we're in a war with our minds, we're in a war with the flesh, and we're in a war with this whole world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is all around us. And then there's the devil. So we've got a lot of enduring to do as soldiers of Jesus Christ. You know, Paul told Timothy, if you go back to 1 Timothy, twice at least, in just 1 Timothy alone, he mentioned fighting. Notice chapter 1, verse 18 of 1 Timothy. He says, "This charge I commend unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." War a good warfare. Look at chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, verse 12. God says, "Fight the good fight of faith." lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. My friend, if you're born again this morning, you're a soldier. You're a soldier in Christ's army. And by the way, the cause that we're fighting is worth it, because the cause is the souls of men and women and boys and girls. And we're going to be in this war until Jesus comes. And God is calling us to be soldiers that are willing to endure some hardness. And there will be plenty of hardness that we will face. But he goes on to say in 2 Timothy 2, verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself. A lot of what we fight against, we don't even have to. It's self-imposed. We allow ourselves to get tangled up in the things of the world. And that's not God's will, because he wants us to be good soldiers. As he says there, I want you to be, verse 3, a good soldier. A good soldier casts aside everything that can hinder him from being the best soldier he can be. That's what God wants from us. If you go to Luke chapter 8, Jesus talked about how the word of God can get choked by the things of this world. Luke chapter 8, look down at verse 14. Most of us are familiar with the parable of the sower. And of course, God is the sower and the seed is the word. The field is the world, as he tells us. And notice Luke 8:14. And they which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. So he says here, as good soldiers, no man at war entangleth himself. God says here that it's possible to get entangled by these thorns of the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. But a good soldier says, no, I'm going to cast aside anything that's going to hinder me from fighting the fight that I have to fight until Jesus comes. I'm going to endure some hardness. And there's plenty of hardness in being a soldier. Notice verse 4 of our passage again. He says that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Praise God that you and I were chosen to be God's soldiers. That we were enlisted into his army. And by the way, he's the best leader we could ever have. Amen. He takes good care of us. He provides for us. He's given us the weapons that we need. You hold the most powerful weapon in your hand, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You've got the weapon of prayer, which is much more powerful than the devil. And so God says, as soldiers, he wants us to please him. He wants us to endure some hardness. You know, there's just, because some Christians are just so busy complaining that they don't have time to fight. And that's not what God wants. We've already been enlisted. There is a great cause. God says, I want you to fight. And if you're going to fight and do a good job as a soldier, I want you to endure some hardness. So that's number one. Verse 5 is number two. He also wants us to endure some self-control as a runner. Notice he says, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. He's talking here about people running a race and striving for the prize. We all know that the Olympics started there in Greece. New Testament was written in Greek, by the way. And so people understood what he was talking about, that when people run a race, if they're wanting to win the race, there's got to be a lot of self-control involved, eh? You don't just go out after not running ever and say, you know, I'm going to enlist in the Rotary Marathon. I'm just going to go do it. It's only 42 Ks. What happens? You don't get to the end unless you're crawling or somebody picks you up in their car. You got to train for it. And you've got to make some sacrifices along the way as you train. With your exercise, with your eating, there's some self-control involved in preparing for a race. We all know this to be true. Paul says, we're in a race. The Bible tells us many times that we're in a race. Let's look at a couple of scriptures on that. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. But the day that you were saved, you were not only enlisted as a soldier in the army of God, you were also then enrolled in a long-distance race. And this one isn't a 42K marathon. We don't know how long it is. It starts the day we get saved, and it finishes the day that we leave this earth through death or the rapture. We don't know. But we're in the race. And how many Christians have stopped running? Say, I give it up. Notice Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's called self-control. And God wants us to endure some of that, that we might be the best runner we can be. Notice he says, lay aside the weight, every weight that can... I mean, who's going to go run the marathon? I mean, yeah, there's some people do it to prove a point, but who's going to throw a 50 kg pack on their back and I'm going to run the marathon with 50 kgs on my back? You want to be as light as you can. You know, those running shoes are super light. Your running clothes are super light. You want as much weight off as you can get, because how many times are you going to take a step to do the 42Ks? A lot of steps there. And you want the weight to be as low as possible. God says that we as Christians are in a race. He wants us to endure this self-control. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 9 in verse 24, where again Paul likens the Christian life to a race. And again, we're reminded that we have self-control imposed upon us by the Lord that we might be the best runner we can be, that we need to endure some self-control. Notice 1 Corinthians 9:24. The Bible says, "And every man, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." So there's that word temperate again. "Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown." Back in the Athens races, they would get a golden crown, whoever won. "But we, an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." Look what Paul is saying. He says, "I want to be the best runner that I can be, and I want to set aside everything that can hinder me from winning this race that I'm on." And by the way, we are not racing against each other. It's just us and God. So God didn't save you so that you could compete with your brothers and sisters in Christ. It doesn't work like that. But we are in a race, and we are going to have to endure some self-control if we're going to accomplish what God set us out to accomplish. It's going to take some enduring. 1 Corinthians, if you would, chapter 6, I just want to drive this point home, that God wants us to endure some self-control as a runner. Notice 1 Corinthians 6:12. "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." You see what he's saying? I have liberty in Jesus Christ. I've been given permission to not be under the law, but to serve God in liberty. But Paul's saying, yes, they're all lawful, but they're not all what's best. That's what he means by expedient. That if I'm going to run this race, and if I'm going to finish the race, I'm going to have to endure some self-imposed self-control. And a lot of that is about temptations, isn't it? Go to James chapter 1, verse 12, and I'll show you that God actually promises that if we will endure the temptations that try to slow us down, that we'll be blessed for it. Notice James chapter 1, verse 12. James 1, 12, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." There's those crowns again. So who's he promising crowns to? Those who endure temptation. We're all going to have temptations. That's part of living on this earth and living in this flesh. But we need to acknowledge that we're in a race, and God wants us to run it well. Which means we have to endure some self-control. We have to endure some temptations. We're going to endure a lot of things along the way, but we need to just keep pushing aside anything that's going to slow us down if we're going to run the race the way God wants us to. While we're in James, look at chapter 5, verse 11. He actually refers back to someone we've been studying on Sunday nights, a man named Job. Look what he says, James 5, 11. "Behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." Happy which endure. So as soldiers, God has called us to endure some hardness. As runners, he's called us to endure some self-control. But lastly, let's go back to our passage, 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 9, he says, "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound." We've all been called to suffer persecution as a Christian. Now, a lot of Christians don't suffer persecution. You know why that is? Because they don't live for God. And they don't witness. God promised in 2 Timothy 3:12, just down the next chapter, "All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So if we choose to set out to do right and serve the Lord and put Him first, which is going to include witnessing to the lost, the result is we will face some persecutions. And God says we must endure those things for His sake. You know, Paul said in 2 Timothy 1, "Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." Don't be ashamed, he says, "nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel." What are the afflictions of the gospel? Persecution. When we share the gospel, believe it or not, some people are going to push back. It's just the way it works, isn't it? And we will face some persecution. Paul's and all the other disciples, their ultimate persecution was, it looks like they were all martyred. That's about as heavy as you can get with persecution, is to be killed for your faith. Jesus was killed for what he taught. All God asks is that we just tell people the good news. But if we do, we will suffer persecution. And God says, endure it. Be willing to endure some hardness as a soldier. Be willing to endure some self-control as a runner. And be willing to endure some persecution as a Christian. Because in the end, it's all worth it. Notice he says in verse 10 of our passage, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake." And many times Paul details all of his suffering. I mean, it's a long list. But never once did Paul say, "I regret it." There's going to be sufferings. There's going to be hardness. There's going to be persecutions. There's going to be temptations. But when we get to heaven, we're not going to regret any of those things if they were for God. And that's what Paul's saying here. Yes, I've endured a lot of things, and I'm going to endure some more. And he was beaten, and he was jailed, and he was in shipwrecks, and spent a lot of time being chased by the Jews, attacked. There's not one verse where he ever said, "Oh, I've just suffered too much. I just wish I wouldn't have become a Christian." No, he gets to the end in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and he says, I finished my course with joy. I've done what God called me to do. There was a lot of suffering involved, but that's okay. He says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In Romans 8:18, he says, when I get to heaven, it's not going to matter. But he's saying, I'm enduring all these things essentially for you. You that are reading the scriptures, 2,000 years later, we're reading what he wrote. And he says, I endured all of this suffering. I endured all of these things so that you could hear about Jesus. And it's true for us as well. It's worth it. It's worth it to endure hardness as a soldier so that people can hear. It's worth it to endure some self-control as a runner so that people can hear. And it's definitely worth it to endure some persecution so that people can hear. If you would look at 2 Corinthians 1:6, that'll be our last scripture this morning. But in the end, why should we endure these things? Why not just throw up our hands and say, I'm not going to fight, I'm just going to go hide. Just going to wait for Jesus to come. Why? For others. That's why. To please God, because it says to please Him, what called us to be a soldier. We should endure these things to please God, but ultimately it's for others. Notice 2 Corinthians 1 verse 6. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Paul's saying, it's all for you. And anything that we endure for the cause of Jesus Christ, God's saying, not only is it worth it for the sake of others, but he also tells us that we will be blessed and rewarded for it. And that's why he mentions the crowns. That's not why we do it. We don't do it for the crowns. But he's saying, I keep track. It's okay. You're going to get to come to heaven someday. And you're going to get to spend forever with me and have a time of rest and no more crying and no more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears. It's all gone. But I am keeping track and I will remember and I'll reward you for all that you endured for my sake. Now, God doesn't have to do that, does he? He gave us eternal life. That should be enough. He could just say, I want you to go serve me because I gave you eternal life. But he says, no, if you will endure some hardness as a soldier, and if you'll endure some self-control as a runner, and if you'll endure the persecutions that come with standing for Christ, I'll reward you someday with some crowns. What a blessing that is. So God wants us to endure. It's not what the world wants to hear today. That the life is going to be full of suffering, but it's the truth. So we need to be willing to say, you know what? God is worth it. The cause of Christ is worth it. I'm going to start acting like a good soldier. I'm going to start behaving like a long-distance runner in my Christian life. I'm going to stop being afraid of being persecuted for standing for Christ. Because it's all worth it. It's all worth it for others. He wants us to endure. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for your word.